He will give us the abundant earthly possessions. But that is not what he's trying to say. So I'm going to talk about the context about this verse, and then Eli is going to talk about how to apply it to your life. So have you ever had a time in your life where you've had false hope in something or someone? Here's a story. When I'm working with my dad and it gets close to dinner time, and we're about done, and then just when you think we're done, another problem arises and you have to fix the problem. This is kind of the idea. You thought you were going to go in and get food, but you're not. And then you realize the problem will probably take another hour, and you're not happy. This is what's happening in Jeremiah 29 and 28 and 29. So if you turn back to Jeremiah 28, 1 through 4. It says, in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priest and all the people who were standing there in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make his words that has been prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all its exiles. So Hananiah is telling the people of Israel to take heart, for this trial in your life is soon done. And in 2 years you will be free to go back to Israel and you will have your own king again. Better yet, all the items that were in God's temple will be returned. I can almost imagine the reaction of all the people. They were probably overwhelmed with joy and happiness. Just 2 more years and that was it. It gave them a false hope. Later in the verse we see Jeremiah the prophet say, May the Lord do as he said, and also may the Lord fulfill what he has prophesied to you. See that Jeremiah is not rebuking Hananiah yet. He says, may the Lord's will be done. But later in the chapter, we see God talk to Jeremiah. In verse 12, sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars off of the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord, you have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, for I have given to him even the beasts of the field. And Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made the people trust a lie. Therefore the Lord says, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. And in the same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. So a bit earlier in the chapter, Hananiah told the people, 2 years until you're free. And then he took a yoke that was on Jeremiah and broke it in half to make the illustration how the people of Israel were going to break and overthrow the yoke of oppression that the Babylonians were putting on Israelites. But that was not God's plan. God punished Hananiah for what he did. He tells Jeremiah that because you have done this, I will let the king Nebuchadnezzar rule with an iron fist, which means a very oppressive rule to the people of Israel. So Jeremiah rebukes Hananiah by saying that you had my people believe a lie. And he told him that his punishment was death. Okay, and then chapter 19 starts. Let's read verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I am sent into the exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build your house and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it is the welfare you find will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in your name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill you to my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come pray to me, and I will hear you. In the first part of this passage, he's basically telling them to make themselves at home and get comfortable. It's going to be a long wait. In verse 7, he tells them to be good stewards of the city and to pray for other people in the city and for the city. Then, after this, he warns the people of Israel against false teaching, like what just happened the year before. He tells them, in 70 years, they will be free from Babylon. But that is not what the people wanted to hear. 70 years is a long time. 70 years ago, back in 1950, the Korean War started on January 25th, 1950. 3 years later, we just discovered something called DNA. So that's how long 70 years ago is. So he said 70 years he will fulfill his promise and take them back to the promised land. Most of the men that were alive when he told us were probably going to die before the 70 years were up. And then it goes right into this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come pray to me. I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore to your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from this place from which I have sent into exile. Even though he says earlier in this chapter that he's not going to come and deliver the people of Israel for 70 years, he reminds us that sometimes trials in our lives cause us to grow closer to God. And this is what he's trying to say. He reminds Israel that he will bring them back to the land he took them out of, which is Israel. So that is some of the context leading to this verse. Thank you.
Good morning. So, like Jade was saying before, our verse for today will be Jeremiah 29:11. He talked about the context clues and the backstory to it. Today I'm going to tell you how to apply it to your life. When we look at the verse of Jeremiah 29:11, it can be a happy reminder of what the Lord promises us and what his intentions are with us. Yes, this is true with the passage, and it can still be applied to us today, but after listening to Jade, we now know that it wasn't originally written for us. It was intended for the Jews that were living under Babylonian rule as they were enslaved. So now that we have backstory about the verse, we can start to break it down and apply it to our lives. So when we look at the first part of this verse when it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." The first point I want to make today is we don't need to worry about our future, and that we need to stop worrying because God already knows what our plans are. Of course, it's a lot easier said than done. I know I struggle with this, but it really starts to hit home for me and my classmates because in a couple short months we will have graduated. We're going to move out of the house on our own and take on the world and its responsibilities. So that means we're going to have to lean on God now more than ever. That doesn't just apply to seniors in high school either. It can apply to people that start that dream job they've been working so hard to get, parents with their firstborn child, or soldiers seeing combat for the first time. These are just a couple examples of people who can look to the Lord in guidance. The second part of this verse that says, plans to prosper you, not plans to hurt you, I will give you hope and a good future. When we look at this part of the verse, it's easy to think that we'll be rich and famous and all have all these earthly pleasures. But again, that's not what the Lord is getting at. God's not going to give us what we want all the time, but rather he will give us what we need. This is the part of the verse where people can struggle in life when God says that he's not going to give us what we want all the time. I mean, I know I struggle with that. I'd love to have enough money to buy a brand new pickup every year, or a nice new snowmobile, or even a dream house that I want someday. But again, God's going to give us what we need in life and not always what we want. And when we don't get what we want, it's easy to be discouraged with the Lord and ask him why. But again, we don't need to do that because he gives us what we need and he knows what we need. When it talks about hope, it's referring to the belief that we have in the Lord. And the good future that God refers to is the everlasting life with him someday when he calls us home. I'd like to take time and look at one more passage that can relate to Jeremiah 29:11. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. And it reads, "Trust the Lord with all your heart, and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success." The first part of this verse is saying to trust the Lord with all your heart. We as humans, we put trust in a lot of things, like a puzzle box to come with all the pieces of the puzzle you're putting together. If you can trust the company to send you all the pieces, then why can't you trust the Lord? If you can trust these chairs you sit in every Sunday to hold you up when you're sitting, then why are you so shaky to trust the Lord when you go through hardships in your life? If you can trust the pilot to fly the plane you're on, then you can trust the Lord to guide you in life where you need to go. The last part of this verse is saying, in all ways you need to acknowledge him. With all the things you do, you should talk with God and not just rely on your own understanding. That's like saying your teacher is giving you the opportunity for an open book test, but you choose not to use your book and say, you'll be fine anyways. We as humans always need a little more reassurance in life when doing things, and when we need knowledge, the perfect person to go to is obviously the good Lord above. In conclusion, I want you to walk away today knowing this. One, God already knows what your future is going to look like, so we can trust and rely on him every single day. Two, God doesn't give us what we want all the time, but what we need. Three, we need to ask ourselves, are we fully trusting God in everything we do? And four, and lastly, are you talking to the Lord on a regular basis and making your communication between you two stronger? Don't leave here today with questions regarding your faith. If you need any questions answered, you can talk to Pastor Andrew or any of the other pastors or elders here. They'll be more than happy to help. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you today for another beautiful day here on planet Earth, but more importantly, another beautiful Sunday here in church, praising you. I want to thank you for giving Jade and I the opportunity to speak the words that you gave to us, and I pray that people will leave here today taking something away from our sermons, Lord. I want you to watch over every one of us as we leave here today and go on our way and watch the Super Bowl here, Lord. And Lord, just bring us all back here next Sunday to worship you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Change the world. time to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Please stand and sing with us hymn number 484, Who is on the Lord's Side?
Thou hast made us willing, Thou hast made We thank you guys again for coming. I just want to say one thing that you probably saw some different faces. Really neat thing is there was four schools represented today here: Miller, Sunshine, Hitchcock Schuller, and Woolsey. And so we're just going to ask you to continue to pray for the youth as we continue to reach out and to others. They're all going to be out here in the foyer. Would love to shake hands, get to know some of them, and you're going to have a little extra time at coffee time to mingle with one another. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these youth and just, again, their willingness to serve. Lord, we pray that as we leave here, that we would be reminded that you do know the plans for us. Lord, I pray that as we also leave, that we would be pointing others to you, just like that final song, that you came to save us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray for safety as we leave. Praise things in your name. Amen.